Hear now the gospel reading on this fourth Sunday of Easter from the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, beginning with the first verse, the word of God for the people of God. I tell you the truth, says Jesus, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never, never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Now, Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved. He will come in. He will go out. He will find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. Growing up in a retail family, one of the earliest lessons I learned, graduates, was that there are some people in this world who seem perfectly content to fritter their lives away, sort of like you plan to be doing for the next 3 months before school begins in the fall. You're just going to spend the next 10 or 12 weeks frittering your life away, and we all understand because we've all been there. But at some point, you would think that people would get a clue. But I remember growing up in my dad's store, dutifully meeting customers at the door, asking them, may I help you? Having some people respond very, very specifically, yes, I'm looking for brake shoes for a 66 Chevy. Got that. I'm looking for a spare TV for a bedroom. Yes, I can help you with that. I'm looking for your baseball gloves. Got to buy a catcher's mitt for my son. Oh, yeah, I loved helping people with those kinds of requests. But you would be surprised at how many times people would walk through the doors of my father's store, and I'd be there at the front to say, how may I help you? And they'd just look at me with this blank expression, like they absolutely had no clue why they had walked into the store, and the only thing that they could ever mutter was something along the lines of, just looking. Just looking. And I can remember wanting to ask every one of those persons the question, well, if you could just give me a clue. If you could offer me just a hint of why you chose to come into the store, maybe I can help you. But I knew that my dad would really make life difficult for me. He wouldn't fire me. And so I'd just stay silent and leave them alone in their aimless exploration. I'm just looking. Just looking. I think back and I wonder if somehow God wasn't using that lesson in my life to move me toward vocational ministry. This desire that burns within you to help people understand what really matters in life, to help people who just seem to be meandering along without any notion of what it is that they're looking for, to be able to offer them some good news that will connect our little lives here on earth with this overarching sense of purpose, even with the transcendence that I believe every one of us in our heart of hearts so desperately yearns for. I think it was in college graduates that I remember coming across a quote by Mark Twain, who said many good things, but one of the things I can remember Twain saying is that there are two great times in every person's life. You've heard this quote? The day you are born, that's a great day. And the second great day is the day you understand why you were born. Now, I mentioned that quote specifically to you seniors to remind you that even though you've accomplished a lot in your 12 years of education, you still have a lot to learn. And I'm not just talking about reading and writing and arithmetic. You've got a lot to learn in terms of what this life is all about, and you are about to embark on a season in life that will either make you or break you. You must be careful. You must be very careful. But I say it to the rest of us who have seen many years come and go since the time when we stood before this congregation or a congregation like this one in our caps and gowns. I say that to remind you that this task of understanding why we are here, why we are born, that really is a lifelong pursuit. I have to tell you, in many respects, I'm still trying to figure it out in the sense of everything that God has for me to know. And if you were honest with yourself, you would say the same thing. It's a great segue, is it not, that quote to this text that is before us in John's Gospel, where Jesus is talking with religious people about what really matters in life and how His coming to earth, His being sent by God, was to help us find the answer to why we are here and how we can experience everything, everything that we were created to know. It's a passage about life, which, if you are familiar with the Gospel of John, should not come as a surprise to you. Life is something that John mentions a lot in his Gospel, especially as the concept of real life connects with Jesus. In Him was life, speaking of Jesus, and that life was the light of men. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. These things are written, John says, at the end of his gospel, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing in Him, you might have life in His name. And when John talks about this concept of living, life, he uses a special word in the Greek that means more than just quantity of life. We translate some of those references as everlasting life or eternal life, and certainly the greatest promise of our faith is that once this life here on earth is over, because of our faith in Jesus. We experience life forevermore. I don't mean to minimize the notion of the hope that we have in Jesus, not one bit. But when you read what John says in his gospel regarding the life to which Jesus invites us, the life that our faith in him awakens in us, it has to do with a quality of life. I've been a Christian since I was 9 years of age. Actually, that's when I made my profession of faith and was baptized. I can't remember a day in my life when I was not in church and did not hear and believe, as best I could, the lessons of faith. And for the life of me, I honestly do not think that I have ever sacrificed anything in life because of the decision that I made years ago, Barrett, to trust as you did in Jesus as my Savior and Lord. When I look at John's gospel, I see how Jesus was all about life and all about helping others experience fullness of life. The third chapter, he's having a conversation with Nicodemus, who's a ruler of the Jews, and Nicodemus knows that something's missing in his life, even though he's a religious man. And Jesus tells him, in order to find what you're looking for, the life that you're looking for, you have to be born again. In the fourth chapter, Jesus meets a Samaritan woman who has to go out to a well on the outskirts of town. In the middle of the day, women don't go at that time. Why is she out there? Because she has a reputation, quite frankly. And yet Jesus says to her, "You ask me and I'll give you living water." Living water, and she does, and her life is transformed. You look in the next chapter, and Jesus is in Cana of Galilee, and a Roman official comes to him and says, My son is sick. He's in Capernaum. Jesus says, "I can heal him if you believe." And he performs this long-distance healing so that the official's son can be restored to life. In the next chapter, you got a guy who's been lying by the pool in Bethesda for 38 years. 38 years! The oldest of our graduates is maybe 19, most of you 17 or 8. 38 years. He is by a pool waiting for the waters to be stirred so that he can get in and be healed. That's what people believe. But there was no one to help him until Jesus came along. And Jesus comes along and tells the man to get up and take your mat and walk. And he does. And then there's one other example. It's in the ninth chapter, the chapter prior to the one where I've read this passage for you. There's a man who's been blind from birth. Jesus heals him. He heals him. He gives him his sight. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders, are beside themselves because they think that Jesus has overstepped his bounds. He's performed this healing on the Sabbath, and that's a big no-no. And they're all about rules and regulations and restricting religious fervor. And they wonder if maybe Jesus has tried to backdoor them, and Jesus launches into this wonderful teaching about, no, the shepherd doesn't go through the back door. Only the thief goes through the back door. The shepherd goes through the front gate, and the watchman lets him in, and the sheep recognize his voice, and they follow him. They don't follow a stranger's voice. And when the shepherd leads them out to find pasture, they follow him. They don't follow a stranger. No, the thief comes in the back door to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come in order that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. Jesus came to help us. Jesus came to help us to understand why we are here on this earth. Jesus came to help us. He said, I am the gate. I am the gate. And He will extend His help to us so that by coming through Him in faith, we might begin to understand the meaning and the purpose that our days can hold. And through our confidence in Christ, have the assurance, the blessed assurance, that there is nothing in this world that will ever separate us from God's love, that we have everything to experience, and there is nothing to miss when we trust in Jesus. Now, you may be here this morning, and you may be thinking to yourself, yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good. But you know, my life is actually in a pretty good place. So that what you're really saying underneath all of that is that maybe somebody else needs Jesus, but I don't need Jesus as much as they might. My life is good. But can you acknowledge that there are times in life, circumstances and situations that come upon you that knock the props out from under you? And I'm not just talking about those devastating seasons of life. I mean, when you think about just all that most of us have to encounter in the course of every week, things that just rob us of our joy. The meeting doesn't go well. I mean, that could happen this week. You've got a big meeting, and you've been working hard, but it doesn't go as well as you have planned for it to go. The contract falls through. You need this contract. You need this contract to be able to hit quarterly projections, but it didn't happen. The test didn't go as well as you had prayed that it would go. So you don't know if the scholarship is going to be extended. The roast burns. You got the family coming over and the cake flops. I mean, it happens. Somebody says something to you. I mean, you can see just from your own experience those times when life has a way of happening in painful, difficult, challenging fashion, the doctor says, it doesn't look good. You don't know what you're going to do. Jesus is telling us in those moments when we open our lives to Him, when we rely on His presence, when we trust in His promise, when we hear His voice and follow in His way, there is power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, there is power that comes to us through our trusting our situations and circumstances to Jesus, so that in the same way that Jesus worked in the life of Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman and the official's son, and the man who had been paralyzed for 38 years, and the man who was born blind, and so many others, that same power can work in your life if only you will open your life and allow Jesus to help you. We all fall down, but only Jesus can fully lift us up. I love the old story of the man that did fall down one day, fell into a pit. The pit was so deep he couldn't crawl out of the pit, so he needed some help. And he started crying out for help. And a person came by, a person who was empathetic in spirit. And the person who was empathetic in spirit said, I really feel for you down in that pit. I share your pain, but that empathetic person did nothing to offer the man in the pit any help. A person prone to self-pity came by and said, well, that's a bad pit, but you ought to see the pit that I'm in. You want to see a pit, you ought to see what I'm having to deal with. And so the person prone to self-pity offered no help. A judgmental person came by, said only bad people fall into pits, did nothing to help the person out of the pit. An optimist came by and said, well, so you've fallen into a pit. Things can get worse. A pessimist came by and said, you have fallen into the pit. Things will get worse from here. And then as the parable ends, Jesus comes by the pit. And what others were unwilling and unable to do, Jesus lifted the man out of the pit. In the same way that Jesus can lift you out of where you are this day, if you have fallen and you cannot get up. I don't know where you are in terms of your life story, except that you're here, you were born, but I have not the slightest clue if you understand why you were born. But if you've come into this sanctuary this morning with something of a clue, that you're open, that you're willing to receive some help, if you've come into this place this morning and you are in dire need of help, if you have doubts, if you have questions, you have come to the right place. Because here we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, the power of God that works through Him to bless us in ways that we cannot fully conceive. But we believe, and we invite you to share our belief, that Jesus will guide you where you need to go, and Jesus will give you what you need to have for the living of these days. Jesus will help you. And the help that He gives will provide you with life, and will provide you with it in all its abundance. What more could you ask for? So ask Jesus to do in you what you were born for Jesus to do.